gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, it is official. Republicans now officially hate America. It's 6 minutes after the hour on a Monday morning.
You just noticed that.
Well, I think I've said it before. What's good for America, bad for Republicans. Did you hear the at the Weekly Standard? They erupted in cheers.
Yes.
When America lost the Olympics. Good for you. At least you're not trying to hide your
hatred of America.
Your hatred of America anymore, and we
yes!
applaud you.
No jobs. Uh-huh. Yes.
We
more
have
more unemployment.
We have a rollicking right-wing world coming up next hour. We will be co-hosted with Eric Bollert from Media Matters.
Yes.
Jim, just a taste. I heard this myself live. The drug-addled gas bag Rush Limbaugh called the president a blithering idiot.
Really?
And also we're being governed by an imbecile, apparently, for not because he didn't get the Olympics.
Ah,
because he didn't want him to do in the first place.
Because it was only up to him to get the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rude Pundit coming up on the Newsmaker Hotline in about a half an hour. And on the Celebrity Hotline in Hour 3, Nicole Sullivan, member from Mad TV.
Yes.
One of our very personal favorites. Friend of my nephew. And one of the funniest women alive. She went to college with my nephew.
F-O-N? Friend of nephew?
Yes.
Okay.
One of the few guests on the Celebrity Hotline is drinking a lot of my wine.
Oh, really?
We've imbibed quite a bit together, yes.
She's been to your house?
Oh,
I could come to your house and drink your wine.
All right. I, being a fine American who loves America, was actually disappointed for America when we didn't get the Olympics and for our fine friends in Chicago.
I believe it's always a worthwhile endeavor to promote and boost the United States of America.
The city of Chicago, having obtained the least number of votes, will not participate in the next round.
Oh, it's so
as Chicago is handed a stunning defeat, the right wing claims victory.
Let me just quickly ask you, Carl, is this a humiliation for the president?
Absolutely, and he got exactly what he deserved.
Fox question.
Even if you're getting heckled from the cheap seats, the worst day of Obama's presidency, folks, the ego has landed.
This attack on President Obama is about the most un-American thing I think I've ever seen.
For them to be cheering America's loss here on the right, I think is sort of disgusting.
Yeah, thank you, Shano. All right.
Yes, we lose!
And if he hadn't gone, they would have been, see, what a boob. He didn't do enough. That's why we didn't get the Olympics. He couldn't have
won. Only done more and spent more than 18 hours.
By the way, and didn't we say this got announced during our show Friday? We were saying before that, from everything I read, Rio was always the front runner. South America's never had an Olympics. They like to make history at the IOC. Like,
But part of the problem, it turns out, is George Bush's
visa rules.
Yeah, visa rules.
Yes. That was apparently one of the things that was overlooked in the news coverage, is one of the members of the IOC asked that question right after Chicago's presentation, that after 9/11, the visa rules are so onerous here, and that was what their fear was.
That's
but whatever, whatever. It's bad news for America.
The president said, "Oh crap."
Oh crap. Bad news for America. Good news for the Republicans, as usual. Were they cheering over the unemployment number ticking up on
Probably,
Friday as well?
Yeah.
Uh huh. Good little party at the Weekly Standard. Those people that still have jobs at the Weekly Standard that weren't included in that unemployment number. Okay, do you get a lump in your throat every time you see the employment numbers and think, I hope I'm not next?
Yes.
Well, you are next, I can tell you that.
Oh, great, okay. Well, then who's gonna push these buttons for you?
I kid. The gallows humor not that funny in this economy, is
it? No, it's not. Not appreciated.
This drop not so funny.
You're fired.
I think I'll cycle that one out of your box.
Yeah, another morning radio host here in L.A. Just, bit the dust.
Oh, really? Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's how I felt when I had the late night TV show. I'm like,
Although, I did hear him on the competing station yesterday.
Oh, good.
The one right next door.
Good. So. You're nobody until you've been fired in L.A.
That's right.
I've been fired a bunch of times. All right. Well, you know why? Because they drummed me out of Hollywood. Steve in Michigan writes, Steph, I know you love Susan Hayward's. Well, Hollywood doesn't go for booze and dope.
Yeah. Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood. So you come crawling back to Broadway. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope. Now you get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting for me.
Steve writes, but FYI, did you know that the second movie Susan Hayward ever appeared in was a film called Get Beavis and Butthead on Standby, The Amazing Dr. Clitterhouse from 1938. I'm sure you and Jim will have hours of fun with that one, just like kittens with a ball of yarn.
That must have been before the Hayes office.
Maybe you can add that to Beaver Stack. I'm sure there was plenty of beaver near Dr. Clitter's house.
Was there a credit for a man in boat?
Okay. All right. And on Friday, I got my panties all in a wad about Michael Vick. Many people sent us the news story. We mentioned this. It was a very confusing story.
Yes.
I just have my panties in a wad in general.
You
that
don't
someone can be celebrated that does that to animals.
In no way should
and
that man be celebrated.
Back and playing football and whatever. I'm not saying you legally can do any. I understand he's paid his debt, yada, yada. I just don't like him.
Sort of.
Anyway, so ESPN reported that Nike does not have an actual contractual relationship with Michael Vick, despite earlier information from the quarterback's agent. That was what was confusing.
Yeah.
His agent definitely made it sound like it
his
was an
agent
deal.
Opened his pie hole.
Yeah. Nike explained the discrepancy in a statement, noting that it merely agreed to supply product to Michael Vick, which we reported on Friday. As we do a number of athletes who are not under contract with Nike, the director of Vick's agency announced the player had a new deal with Nike, much of which led to the twisting of my panties.
Yes.
He actually just became a Nike client, he said. He has a new deal with Nike that we're all very pleased about. So see, that's why that would lend people like me, animal lovers like
Stephanie Miller,
to go a little ape.
You're allowed to.
All right. Anyway, but whatever. It's still just, I think it's the whole, it's just if you're an animal lover like me and you actually read the court thing,
yeah,
the actual details of it, it's really, ugh. All right, let's check some other entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Wow. This headline, it's like that movie The Blob. Harrison what? Ford devoured by own ego. I missed this story over the weekend. The Indiana Jones actor insists all Hollywood stars have high opinions of themselves. He said if any actor says he doesn't care what's written about him, he's a liar. Actors are completely devoured by our own egos. I have a huge ego too, but I invested in my work based on the principle that you can always improve. If I know I'm right, I'll fight to the end to make sure people understand me. I always say if you hire me, you have to listen to me.
Hmm.
We have our...
True. I have a huge ego, but I invested in my work based on the principle you can always improve. I mean, look at how my acting ability has blossomed since Star Wars. Hokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster at your side, kid. Then in Indiana Jones, snakes. Why did it have to be snakes? See the improvement? I got even better in the movie Blade Runner. All he wanted was the same answers the rest of us want. Where did I come from? Where am I going? How long have I got? All I could do is sit there and watch him die. Oh, wait, that was my manager at lunch the other day talking about my career. But, you know, it wouldn't be so bad if my private life weren't being intruded upon by the hordes of crazed fans. Here come a bunch of them now. No, really, no autographs. Please respect my private... Hello? Is there anybody out there? Anyone at all? Invisible. Why did I have to be invisible?
See, he said he wanted to be invisible.
I get it.
And
finally, President Obama suffered, of course, a defeat on Friday at the hands of a secretive and quirky international body known for its unpredictability. There was no immediate explanation why the IOC, in its first round of voting, eliminated Chicago, whose bid was widely regarded as among the strongest of the four finalists for the 2016 Summer Olympics, before ultimately selecting Rio to host the Games. We have Robert De Niro.
For some reason.
For some reason. On this, yeah.
So he lost the Olympics. Life goes on. A man become preeminent, he's expected to have enthusiasms. 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 What are mine? What draws my admiration? What is that gives me joy? The shot put. The high jump. The standing broad jump. Synchronized swimming. Speed walking. Baseball.
Baseball. Baseball. Baseball.
A man stands alone in Copenhagen. This is the time for what? Giving the Olympics to Chicago. A sunny day, Some foreign mook that the International Olympic Committee... What does he have to say? Rio de Janeiro. But I get nowhere unless all that Olympic scratch comes to Cicero. I want the Olympic Committee dead. I want their families dead. I want Copenhagen burned to the ground. Except that statue of the Little Mermaid. I want that near my koi pond. See that it happens. Enthusiasms. Enthusiasms.
We lost the Olympics a little bit. A little bit.
A little bit.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. All right. Let the David Letterman jokes begin.
Oh, yeah.
So he was obviously the target of other late-night comedians' jokes. Would you like to hear them? Jay Leno kicked off the monologue. If you came here tonight for sex with a talk show host, you've got the wrong studio.
Hey!
How are we doing on time?
Oh. Jimmy Fallon on NBC's Late Night said, there's a new book out called Why Women Have Sex that says there are 237 reasons why women have sex. And folks, Letterman knows the top 10. By the way, I think the award of the Celebrity Stack goes to Letterman's blackmailer.
Yes.
What a dope. Delisted.com writes, Robert Joe Halderman, the 48 Hours producer who tried to extort 2 million clams from David Letterman, shouted not guilty to a felony charge of attempted grand larceny. The judge took his plea. It's been confirmed that he is the ex-boyfriend of Stephanie Birkett, who used to be Dave's assistant.
Oh.
So the plot thickens.
And she had a, like, she was featured prominently on air.
She had some diaries, which I was like, really? Girls still write diaries? I thought I'd stop that in the 70s. Anyway. Delisted writes, what the hell kind of bunk-ass extortionist is this Robert Joe Halderman dude? Does he not watch late-night movies? When you're trying to blackmail a bitch, you don't accept a check. Tell their asses you're a cash-only establishment. Yeah, I'm like, what? I'm not sure how he figured he'd get away with that.
I think he had a mental break.
A check, boss? What?
What?
Yeah. How? But why?
I think he had a mental break, and so he wasn't thinking clearly.
Perhaps not. Listen,
that's me every day.
I was just going to say, you guys better know that I got no cash at all, so don't try to extort me after you.
And just sell a couple acres of your land.
If only. If only. I don't care if you have mental breaks in this economy. I got nothing. Roman Polanski agreed to pay his sexual assault victim $500,000 to settle the lawsuit. Did you hear that news came out on Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Court records don't indicate if he ever paid. The last court filing showed him owing over $600,000.
Wow.
But I'm guessing he paid since
she seems to think it's over and done with.
Yes. She seems to have magically changed her opinion of him. I'm going to guess that.
Enough scratch was meted out.
Yes, exactly. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, isn't every Courtney Love story terrifying?
What?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
A little more. Celebrity Stack as we continue, and then Rude Pundit as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ted in Pensacola, Florida. You're on The Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Ted, welcome.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
It's getting very frustrating being Obama supporter. I'm going to tell you what. It's beginning to be a real headache.
Why is that?
Well, here's the deal. I mean, he is getting pummeled on all these issues. And then this General McChrystal seems to be has put our man Obama into a real box, because now the Republicans are squawking it. If he doesn't increase the troops exactly as McChrystal says in the next 24 hours, regardless of what happens, it's going to be Obama's fault.
Well, I do think, Ted, you know, generals, we shouldn't be talking to the press before they talk to the president. I mean, I think military strategy ought to be something that's, you know, deliberated behind closed doors.
Exactly right. I mean, your generals can't be dictating policy, and Obama's going to have to get, you know, he's going to have to get a lot more spine on the health care thing. He's going to have to get control of his generals. I mean, we elected this guy. We wish him well. I mean, I want this guy to succeed, but brother, come on, he's making it difficult. All right, that's what I got to say.
All right, honey, thank you. Oh, goodbye. I'll take no further questions.
I see his point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Obama needs to get a lot tougher than he has been.
He's
been a little too
nice. We'll get to Afghanistan later, but it really is... you know, I'm sorry, I've said this many times, but I'm glad that we have a commander-in-chief that's actually taking time to deliberate strategy. I mean, they're saying, Jim, you've read this whole history of JFK. obviously lost confidence in his generals after Bay of Pigs, and, you know, is this going to be his JFK moment where maybe he decides this is another Vietnam and he's not going to, you know, so I'm glad he's thinking it through anyway.
Actually, but Kennedy lost faith with the CIA after the Bay of Pigs. It was a CIA operation, and they set him up.
All right. Delisted.com writes with the warning, if Courtney Love calls, don't pick up.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I wish I'd known that before this weekend.
No. Did she drunk dial you again?
That's because she's probably cold calling like a telemarketer trying to get hoes to donate to her situation. The Sun says that Courtney Love's checking account is pretty much at zero like her sanity levels. She apparently told a friend, I'm now, dude. I have $120. My kid hasn't had a decent meal and I'm getting evicted. First of all, D-Lister writes, I wonder what Courtney's idea of a decent meal is. I'm guessing a pack of Reds, a few stale fries from McDonald's, half a pack of relish, and maybe a pistachio nut she found in her sofa. Oh, boy. Courtney Love is someone's mother. Just saying. All right.
Doesn't she have the rights to, like, Nirvana?
One would think.
But she probably blew all that on Blow or something. But
yeah.
Blow would be the word,
the,
yes.
The daughter has a trust fund, but she can't touch that for another year.
Until she's 18. Yeah, she's 17 now. Okay.
The superficial.com writes, Lady Gaga and Kanye West tour canceled, but 50 Cent says it was for gays anyway.
Oh.
Lady Gaga and Kanye West's Fame Kills tour was canceled with the word coming out that it was Gaga who pulled out. Insert hermaphrodite joke here. Of course, none of that really matters because 50 Cent said it's the gay tour. He then tried to justify his comments by saying that's what Lady Gaga was calling it. Lady Gaga told Kanye she has a large gay following. 50 Cent's reply, what did Kanye say, me too? Then 50 Cent went on to say, Kanye's cool with the gay folk. I have nothing against them, but he's cool with them. Which I guess is a bad thing.
Okay.
He goes and drops his video off to them. Ellen. Oh, my God. He gave his video to Ellen DeGeneres.
And she represents all the gays.
Apparently.
Yeah.
That's a gay show now.
Okay.
Uh-huh. He went there to premiere his video, so that's why Fitty had his little comments.
Although Gaga is pretty gay.
All right.
Just saying.
Who even knows which parts are going where? Who even knows? All right. Squeezy.
Yes.
Amanda Seyfried. I don't know who that is.
Seyfried? Seyfried.
She says kissing Megan Fox was weird.
She was in Mamma Mia, I believe, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. And she was also in Jennifer's Body.
Yes, she locks lips with Megan Fox in Jennifer's Body. She couldn't get to grips with being so close to a woman. Squeezy could get her help or get so much more comfortable.
Yeah.
She also has a love scene with Julianne.
Let me show you how it's done.
All right, we'll be back with some more Squeezy thoughts on that and the Rude Pundit next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Because if you're angry, you're a bitch, and if you're a bitch, no one will love you. Well, I say that's nonsense.
33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere, a rollicking right-wing world with Eric Bollert from Media Matters coming up in about a half an hour or so. In the meantime,
Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Rude. There's your cheesy little jingle.
Hi. You know, I love the idea of somebody sitting there editing that.
In their mom's basement.
Exactly.
So, you know, I said this to open the show, Rude, is that it's exactly what we thought with the Olympic thing, right? You know, good for America, bad for Republicans. Bad for America, good for Republicans. They were literally cheering in the offices of the Standard when we lost the Olympics.
Yeah. Can somebody just tell them to get a life? That there's so many other things that, yeah, it's over the top. I mean, it's like they've become Republican impersonators. You know, they're such an extreme version of themselves.
Well, it's become so obvious that they're just rooting for the president to fail on everything. It doesn't matter what's good for America. I was saying they must have been cheering the unemployment numbers too.
Yeah, they're just. It's because they've got nothing. I mean, we've talked about this before. Is people are begging them to offer some kind of participation, some kind of solutions of their own, And they've just decided to put their stake in negativity. Not to sound all new agey or anything.
Right. You write some hilarious stuff about Congressman Grayson this week. But the funny thing is, why didn't it get any mainstream coverage? That part of what he based that all on is, remember, you know, those props they were waving at the president, the papers that the Republic. He said he walked over and looked at it. It was blank. They were blank, which is hilarious, which is completely like, that's the Republican play. It's nothing.
Yes.
They have literally nothing. But that got no coverage. So what are those stupid things you're waving at the president?
And that's something else I love about the Grayson thing is how few people actually got the joke that was also going on in his speech, that he was actually, the big signs and everything were there to directly mock the Republicans.
Yeah.
It was such an in-your-face thing in so many ways.
Yeah, I love your post, of course, is Representative Alan Grayson may just your up. You gave us some fun facts. I did not know what a ball buster this guy is. You write, too rich to be bought off. Grayson's been with the powerful for a few years now as an attorney. He represented whistleblowers going after hundreds of millions of dollars in fraud committed by contractors and others in Iraq. He told CNN in April 2006 the development fund of Iraq was looted by war profiteers and war whores. He went after Halliburton and KBR with Dick Cheney. He once said Rush Limbaugh is a has-been hypocrite loser who craves attention. Limbaugh was actually more lucid when he was a drug addict. If America ever did 1% of what he wanted us to do, then we'd all need painkillers. And then my favorite is the apology. You said, this dude knows how to apologize to right-wingers. Pushed by Michael Steele to beg forgiveness from Limbaugh like so many Republicans did, Grayson offered, I'm sorry Limbaugh called for harsh sentences for drug addicts while he was a drug addict. I'm also sorry that he's bent on seeing America fail. And I'm sorry that Limbaugh is one sorry excuse for a human being.
Hey! My attorney.
You what?
I want that guy to be my attorney.
I know. Well, we didn't know much about him before this thing, right?
Well, he made a little bit of a ripple with the Limbaugh thing back in April. But, our side needs its bomb throwers. You know,
yeah.
you need the men or women in public office who are going to be the tiger to go into the weasel cage and just take care of everything.
You mean like Harry Reid? Oh, no.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, I don't think skunks do well with weasels.
Yeah, but I think you're right. It's just, you know, we see so little spine sometimes from our side that people were like, oh, okay, maybe Holocaust not so much, but okay, for the rest of it.
And the other cool thing about Grayson is Grayson came out of nowhere. The right is used to demonizing the usual suspects. You know, Nancy Pelosi has spoken this strongly before, but they've been able to caricature her in such a way that she's been rendered impotent in any of her attacks.
Right.
They're easily dismissed, and this guy just comes out of left field, literally, and creates a whole new dynamic that they don't know how to respond to. It's really the schoolyard bully getting stood up to.
Well, right, and I think it was the hugely hypocritical timing of them, you know, putting forth a resolution after they just praised Joe Wilson and voted no on that resolution, and then, you know, you can play literally the clips one after the other of Republicans calling the Democrats killers and whatever, you know, death panels and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's a parody. It's a parody of political dynamic. There's no back and forth going on anymore. It is just name calling from one side while the other side is hunkered down trying to get something done, while they're having rocks thrown at them.
Yep, absolutely. You write about the Roman Polanski case, which is, you make the exact same point that we've made on this show. As you know, we are law and order liberals here on the Stephanie Miller Show, as are you, Rode.
Yes, well, aren't most liberals, don't most liberals believe in laws? Or if you're a liberal and you believe that a law should be changed, you protest it, you get arrested, you expect to get arrested, and then you try to get legislators or courts involved to change the law.
Right.
Right. Right. But you have you think fugitive rapists should be brought to justice, which is, you know.
Call me crazy.
Yes. Which is what we've said, too. But you talk about the same thing we've said. There's a bizarre moral equation going on among some on the right that because a petition calling for Polanski's release has been signed by a bunch of well-known movie people, it means liberals as a whole just want to let Polanski go.
Yep. That all of a sudden Harvey Weinstein represents us or Martin Scorsese. they want to see us as just this one blob of liberal energy, and
yeah.
they can't understand that you know, just as they don't want to be seen as Glenn Beck, some of the rational ones, Lindsey Graham actually stepping up and saying, whoa, that Beck's not me.
Right.
There's a lot of us on the left that are saying, no, we actually want Polanski jail.
Right, and we had the same reaction probably together when we watched Whoopi Goldberg say, it's not rape. We were like, no. Oh, no.
Yeah,
you could almost, you know, jump start to the next day with Rush Limbaugh, right?
Does rape involve assault or no drugs? Is that what makes it rape?
Yeah. Well, you write, Rush Limbaugh immediately belched, that's where the feminazis are today, just like there was no compassion for Paula Jones.
What? Yeah.
Where's the compassion for that 13-year-old girl? And then he goes after, Winnie Broderick.
Yeah, it's this huge leap of moral equation that it's like the word rapist in his head just made him automatically think, well, that must mean Bill Clinton.
yeah, exactly. And you write Limbaugh might be onto something if he wasn't utterly and completely wrong. Outside of show business, virtually every feminist writer and pundit has been squarely on the side of the victim. And you also helpfully point out in Limbaugh condemning someone for evading the law is like John Wayne Gacy saying clowns are scary.
he's somebody that heard the jingling of handcuffs behind him, and not in a good way.
And, you know, I made this point, too, about, you make the point about torture, that, you know, this whole thing, oh, it was in the past, and we're saying about prosecuting the Bush administration, all crime was in the past.
Right.
Yeah.
This notion that somehow we need to move on. Well, okay, then tell that to, you know, the murderers sitting on death row. And, you know, it's cool. We need to look forward now. You know, we're not going to do anything. And this notion that all of a sudden the right is about punishing wrongdoers by holding up Polanski is ludicrous, considering how many people violated the law that they won't even investigate.
Right.
Don't even want investigated to see if they violated the law. When it comes to torture and interrogation.
Yep. The fine American, that is the Rude Pundit, writes this week, see, some of us believe in principles, not just politics. One of those is that criminals should pay for their crimes, no matter if they're famous movie directors, CIA agents, or vice presidents. We can argue about what that punishment should be, but no one should be excused from answering to the law. It's the right that's always too ready to excuse criminals when it suits their ideological purposes. The Rude Pundit at rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Thank you.
I love you, Lee.
I love you too, Stephanie.
All right, honey. Talk to you next week.
All right.
There he goes.
Hooray!
It's the rude one.
That's right.
Good stuff this week, and incredibly rude and
hilarious. Yeah, his blog is always a good read. You should go to it every single day.
John in Garden Grove on Polanski. Hey, John, welcome.
Good morning. You know, I do believe that Polanski needs to be brought to justice. Mm-hmm. And although it's an entirely different matter, I also think that Letterman needs to suffer some consequences for breaking CBS's policy on sexual harassment.
Wait a minute. That's a little bit of a leap. Raping a 13-year-old girl is different
than... Also, John, he is not a CBS employee. He is an employee of Worldwide Pants Incorporated, and apparently Worldwide Pants Incorporated doesn't have a policy against fraternizing between higher-ups and subordinates. So he didn't break any rules.
Well, the CBS is saying that they're expecting the companies they contract to comply with their policies, however. So the verdict is still out.
Well, John, I think, first of all, I know the right is, like, screaming about this because they perceive him as liberal. But here's the difference. Bill O'Reilly sexually harassed someone against their will. David Letterman, this appears to be consensual.
It was consensual, yes. Completely consensual.
I guess CBS considers any fraternization between employees and staffers to be...
Oh, that's going to have to be something for the lawyers to figure out because...
Just by definition, whether
he's not a CBS employee. He's an employee of Worldwide Pants Incorporated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and a lot of, obviously, again, glee on the right and moralizing about this. But he wasn't married. The problem is, I guess, you know, once again, that's something that's private, whatever his relationship is. I mean, clearly they were already, I don't know, living together, but, you know, his girlfriend. They were, I don't know when they had the kid, but.
They had the kid 6 years ago.
Exactly. Again, that's more of a, you know, you're right. The sexual harassment thing could be a public thing. This is a private thing. But,
right.
You know, he wasn't married and
there was no
rape
involved.
They appear to be consensual relationships. Yeah. And so 44 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
48 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. The Dow is up
32 points.
Thank you. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Karen in Madison on Roman Polanski. Hey, Karen, welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm just dumbfounded that no one seems to be thinking about the fact that he's a sex offender. 13 years old. I don't care if she had on a bikini and said, come here and get me.
Yep.
You know, he's a sex offender, and they don't usually do that just once. Just
yeah.
Once.
Yeah.
And in 30 years, how many times has he reoffended?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I, you know, and plus the people talking about what a great director he is, it's like, okay.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So is Leni Riefenstahl.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no socioeconomic explanation for sex offenders.
Yeah. Well, I think Rude Pundit, as he said, you know, and wrote as well, I think it does. It hurts all liberals when, you know, people like Whoopi Goldberg try to excuse stuff like that. Because then it's like, then you knew exactly we were all going to be painted with the same brush.
Yep.
That, oh, yeah, everybody
yep.
thinks we should just let him go. And, you know, many of us beg to differ.
I totally don't get that.
Yep, thank you.
Well, I think Whoopi meant that it wasn't an assault. It was statutory rape.
Not like a forcible rape. Yeah. But
the Quaaludes kind of changed the equation a little bit, though.
Yeah, and the fact that she's underage and, you know, by law cannot consent to sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, and any of us that have ever been a 13-year-old girl or any of us that are parents to a 13-year-old girl, it just was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Cindy in...
yeah, where's your 13-year-old girl?
Oh, my best friend has one.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if you had one squirreled away in the basement or something.
Not that I know of.
Put lotion on its skin.
Is there a chance
again.
That I do?
Yeah, you had one while you were on Quaaludes. You don't remember.
I thought that box wine just magically appears in my house. Cindy in Miami. I'm sorry, where are you calling from?
Cindy, me?
Hey, Cindy.
Hi. I'm calling from a place called Water Valley, Michigan, and it's about 90 miles north of Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Anyway.
Go Rock City.
You had this caller that was talking about Letterman and the CBS policy. Well, don't forget, Les Moonves, head of CBS, had a relationship and married a subordinate, Julie Chen.
Right.
When she was the host of the early show.
Right.
So,
you know, Cindy, what's hilarious is the right trying to lump everybody in together like Letterman and Roman Polanski. It's like, blah, blah, blah. Wait a minute.
Well, you know, Rush Limbaugh, the next day, made this big deal about saying right off the bat, I have never had sex with any members of my staff. And my first thought was...
Thank God for them. He would have crushed them.
Yeah, it's not self-discipline if nobody ever asks you.
Yeah, that's true.
Didn't mention
no one
anything
ever
about
pursues
it.
Him.
Yeah.
Didn't mention anything about the Dominican Republic. His little trip down. I wish I could tell you what I did, my friends. That's what he said. He said on the air.
That's all the difference you need to know about the right wing and left wing sex scandals. So people actually wanted to have sex with David Letterman, not so much Phil O'Reilly.
Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
And Pete says no. Oof.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay, Mark in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Letterman affair.
Yes,
hello, Mark.
Yes, so I just want to mention that relationships between employer and employee are inherently not consensual because of the power differences between them. It's like teacher-student or parent-child. They may work out okay, but they are.
I don't think it's a good
nature.
Analogy, parent-child. Do you?
Well, we have too recent a one, unfortunately, with Phillips. It was apparently.
That's incest.
But that's a bad analogy. Saying.
Well, it's a bad one, except she consented to it, but it wasn't really.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess the fact is, Mark, this happens all the time. You know, people work together.
But in fact, though, if one is supervising another, if one has control over the other in any way, it's illegitimate. It's just there are too many factors in there that make it difficult for somebody to really apply.
Right, but Mark, doesn't it make a difference if, you know, anyone? I mean, obviously, no one has ever filed a complaint against Letterman that this was something that was unwanted.
I agree with that. That it may well nobody have filed, but it is nonetheless. I don't want to say just inappropriate. It's inappropriate.
Sure, it's inappropriate, but it wasn't against company standards.
No, it has nothing to do with company. It has to do with what's an appropriate set of behavior, whether they have a law against it or a rule against it. It's just a minor matter. I mean, it's not. You cannot have between people of different power relationships. It is very difficult, to have a truly consensual relationship.
All right, Chris, do you want to sex with me?
Hell to the no.
All right. Fine. See? No sexual harassment. Fine. Fine then. Fine. Be that way. Perfect. Good.
But
okay.
It was something that people have been pushing for a long time.
Yeah.
The idea that it is inherently...
Yeah.
I agree with that. It was inappropriate and borderline creepy.
What? Letterman?
Yeah.
Maybe because I started as a comedian on the road, and let me just tell you, guy comedians get more tail than anybody in the universe. Trust me. There's something, you know. Hal Sparks has talked about the numerous ways that women have come on to him
but
after stand-up
Sparks.
Comedy shows. Well, David Letterman's David Letterman.
Yeah, but that's not an employee-employer relationship.
Would it?
Right, but I'm saying it's a shock that women throw themselves at David Letterman. Any, you know, rich, famous, funny guy could probably tell the same story.
According to people who. Law and order types, that's still against the law.
Hmm. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't agree with it, but...
Yeah, we didn't think so, Squeezy.
Good morning.
Hello, Tim.
You know, I don't understand where this whole Letterman thing is coming out from. He was a single male. He got some tail. Big deal. I've been a single male. I have slept with subordinates. It wasn't a big... It isn't a huge thing. And to the other guy in Madison saying that...
He was in a long-time relationship, but again, Tim, that's the part to me that I guess is private. Like,
whatever their agreement or relationship is. It's not the business of all people. Rush Limbaugh, who went to the Dominican Republic and couldn't tell us what he did. I think there's 12-year-old boys involved. But
oh, now, Tim, the Stephanie Miller Show has no information of any kind about that. We're just saying.
There's just a lot of, you know... Percocets and Demerol and whatever.
Yeah,
off-market.
Tim, I may have a somewhat skewed view because these guys are fired if they don't sexually harass me. So maybe I'm not the best person.
You have a nice ass.
Thank you.
See, that's mandated by contract.
It is not possible to sexually harass me. I cannot get enough. I sometimes take Jim's big paws and put them on me in the elevator.
Now, technically, Hal Sparks isn't a subordinate. So you could get all of the action you wanted from him, right?
Oh, well now. We'll ask him on Hump Days with Hal.
In just a couple of days.
See if he lives up to the...
You two aren't subordinates. You're insubordinate, for God's sakes. I'm the one least in charge here.
I was especially insubordinate the day I called you that word.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm the boss. Who gets called that kind of name and still has a job? All right.
Yeah, but you have a nice ass.
Thank you.
Okay.
See, and then I'm fine.
That allows me to keep my job.
Thank you. All right. The president about the loss of the Olympics on Friday.
One of the things that I think is most valuable about sports is that you can play a great game and still not win.
By the way, yeah, I know. I was going to say, speaking of the sexual harassment and you two.
What?
What?
Never mind. All right.
May the record show she pointed at Chris.
Never mind. All right. 57 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert, our very favorite senior fellow at the Media Matters for America. We have a rollicking right-wing world because, as you can imagine, the right-wing gleeful that America lost the Olympics. We will be back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 36 points. 1-800-STEP-12, our phone number toll free from anywhere to join the party. Happy Monday, everybody. StephanieMiller.com. You can come live blog with us. You can be tweeted by Chris Lavoie.
Oh, yeah. And who doesn't want to be tweeted by me?
Mm-hmm. You can email us all there the old fashioned way. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice Dee Dee, Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Jim, I have a very timely, I guess, the quote. Who said hosting the 2016 Olympics would have been great for Chicago and the entire country, and the president was absolutely right to push for it. The Olympics should not be a partisan issue, and suggesting this is a loss for President Obama is nothing more than petty partisan politics. Who said that?
Martin Lawrence.
No.
Wow.
New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, one of the few decent remaining Republicans that was not celebrating the loss of the Olympics on Friday, as they were at the offices of the Weekly Standard and also at the, what was this thing, the American Dream Summit?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Another one of those right-wing whack conventions with Newt Gingrich and yada yada. When the announcement was made, they all started cheering wildly that America lost the Olympics.
I have a dream, frankly. I dream that America will fail and that we sweep back into power like we did in 94, frankly.
All right. So that means that I need some help in right-wing world today. The Eric Bollard Senior Fellow for Media Matters for America. He's our favorite senior fellow. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Are you ready for another rollicking ride in right-wing world with me?
I am. It's been quite a week.
Yeah, I'll say. I mean, they couldn't be any more blatant now, could they? They're just literally cheering that the America lost the Olympics.
Oh, it's like bizarro world. I mean, as someone at the Politico pointed out, it's like the opposite of the 80 Olympics, the miracle on ice. You know, and the U.S. defeated Russia, and that announcement was made, in auditoriums and high school gyms around the country, and people applauded and stood up and cheered. This was like the right wing version of that. People broke into panel discussions to announce that America had lost the Olympics, and the auditoriums erupted in cheers and foot stomping. And as Paul Krugman points out today, the conservative movement, and driven by the conservative media, is based on the very simple premise: if Obama's for it, we're against it, regardless of what the consequences are.
Well, you'd think they'd try to hide it a little better, wouldn't you, Eric? When you've got the Jim DeMint saying, we just want to break him politically, it's like, aren't there somebody going, shh, you're not supposed to say that part in public?
Well, right, the Waterloo comment, this will be the breaking point if we can, kill health care reform in America. That is still sort of wrapped in politics and, well, maybe Republicans don't like the health care reform, it'll cost too much, or what's it going to have to do with insurance? This Olympic thing was just so black and white. It's like, okay, why do you hate Chicago? Why is it a hellhole? Why should we not, why should Chicago not benefit from billions of dollars in infrastructure and tourism?
Thank you, Eric. And especially on a day when the unemployment numbers, hit the numbers they did, you wouldn't be happy for those several thousand fellow Americans that would have gotten jobs.
It was, well, two things were funny. I mean, one, it was, it was going to be, it was automatic that even if Chicago got the bid, it was just going to be massive corruption and they were, conservatives were going to spend years, ridiculing the thing. The other thing is interesting is a lot of the conservative members of the press, the conservative media, when Obama went over to Copenhagen, they announced Chicago had won because the fix was in, and there's no way Obama would go over, if they hadn't had it wrapped up, which is another example of their stellar insight.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, Eric, we had said this early on that, clearly Rio was the emotional favorite all along. I mean, South America's never had an Olympics, and
that's right.
All of the heads of state were going, so as they were saying, Obama had to go just to level the field. If he hadn't gone, and we hadn't gotten them, of course, then the right would have been right and bitching that, why didn't the president do more to get the Olympics for America?
Yeah, it's certainly possible. Although I guess we now know why presidents don't go.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you come away with 18 votes, it's not the greatest. And look, and if it was just that, and if it was just the conservative pundit saying, ha ha, you went and you failed, that's one thing. That's just politics. He sort of took a chance and it didn't work out. But this other thing that was going on, this just sort of rampant anti-Americanism, anti-USA, anti-Chicago.
And
that was the stuff that everyone was like, whoa, what are you talking about?
And Eric, as somebody who is regularly called a name-calling smear merchant by the likes of Bill O'Reilly, take a listen to Rush Limbaugh, who, among other things, called the president a blithering idiot on Friday for not getting the Olympics.
The world rejects Obama. The world rejects Chicago. And they obviously enjoy doing it. First round, Obama's gone. Obama, Michelle Obama, the Oprah, first round, out. He doesn't realize, he doesn't realize that the hatred for this country has not abated. And there may be some love for him, but certainly there's no respect for him. And there certainly isn't a lot of love. I mean, we're being governed by an imbecile, folks.
An imbecile. A blithering idiot and an imbecile we're being governed by.
Well, yeah, and you wonder why David Brooks goes on, you know, NBC, on Meet the Press over the weekend to, to call Rush Limbaugh a loon and claim he has no control. Look, you know, we saw David Brooks do it. We saw McKinnon do it recently. Lindsey Graham over the weekend do it. There's clearly now a conservative effort from what remains of the so-called Republican establishment, I call the adult supervision,
yep,
to try one last desperate attempt, I think, to create some daylight between the Republican Party and, as David Brooks calls it, the loons on talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
But it is awfully late, and it, and to me, it is, it's a day late and a dollar short. These folks are the Republican Party, and this is the face, mm-hmm, of the Republican Party going forward. And David Brooks and others are coming a little late to the conclusion that A, they're loons, and B, it's going to destroy mm-hmm, your Republican message.
Well, and you know, Eric, it doesn't matter on what subject. You know, as we move on to Afghanistan, once again, they just want the president to fail, even if that means America failing in Afghanistan.
Right, and of course, this is the huge irony: is that during the Bush years, you know, anyone who even questioned, you know, troop deployment, let alone the invasion, American foreign policy, I mean, they were traitors. They were absolutely, you know, fifth column, and they were going to undo America from within. And now we have the entire conservative press in America just now actively rooting against America,
yep,
on every front. They want higher unemployment. They don't want us to win the Olympics. They want us to fail. They just want failure across the board. They want Chicago to have epidemic, you know, violence. They want everything.
I know. Yes. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Baier show.
I cannot imagine that if his plan is rejected,
McChrystal,
and if he is given to proceed on a plan which he has said now in public in London cannot succeed, how in good honor he could send his troops into battle with a plan saying and knowing it would fail. I think he would resign, and that would be a crisis for the Obama administration.
Oh, well, now they're talking about future crises that are going to, that apparently Obama is going to wreak on us.
Right, and now suddenly it's people on the right who are questioning the moral authority of the president to send troops into harm's way, which is, of course, what was considered traitorous 5 years ago. So the whole thing is bizarre world. I mean, this goes back a couple weeks ago, you know, in bizarre world, second graders, you know, singing the praise to Barack Obama during Black History Month are suddenly the enemy, the enemy of the state, and have to be taken down and ridiculed. And, you know, now, you know, the Olympics are the enemy, and we could never want the Olympics. And now you're supposed to question the moral authority of the president during wartime. So,
yep,
obviously, everything's been turned upside down. And,
yep,
again, people like David Brooks see this thing just careening out of control,
right,
at this point.
Absolutely. Charles Krauthammer, again, part of the We Didn't Get the Olympics celebration.
It's almost unimaginable that a president would actually go abroad if he didn't have it wired. And look, this was the perfect audience for him. A collection of global Eurotrash who love all this anti-American stuff.
Whoa!
And it didn't even work on them.
You know, Eric, that could be the reason we didn't get the Olympics, because people on Fox continually call them Eurotrash.
Right, right. Well, it's fascinating, too, that, you know, the president now is never supposed to do anything unless he's absolutely sure he's going to be successful. So the new definition of leadership in America is not doing anything unless you know the predetermined outcome.
I mean, exactly. Unless you're Kreskin.
Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting definition of leadership. I mean, if you go through history, you know, Churchill, Abraham Lincoln, Roosevelt, other greats, they never should have done anything unless they knew they were going to win. Because if you don't succeed, and if you don't challenge people to succeed, then you're a laughing stock. This whole thing is nuts.
Appreciate the extra blanket of irony in this next one. This is Karl Rove, Eric, talking about why it is that people around the world may not like us very much, which would have nothing to do, I'm sure, with any Bush administration policies.
He's making this all about himself. And if you've got a guy going around apologizing for the United States and saying, we're bad, we've been wrong, and we're terrible, and I'll make it better, you're inviting people, particularly in a process as heavily influenced by a wide variety of nations as this one, to have them kick the United States, and that's exactly what happened.
No.
Yeah. By the way, Eric, I'm sure you read this many places that the Bush administration's tourist visa policy may have actually been what cost the cost us the Olympics. That was, you know, one of the overlooked stories. Is one of the in the official question and answer session, an IOC member asked. He said, "How smooth would it be for foreigners to enter the U.S. for the games? Because doing so, he said, can sometimes be a rather harrowing experience." So, yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, you listen to Fox. I was actually watching, you know, ESPN on Friday when it was Friday, right, when they announced the Olympics.
Yes.
And they actually had the most sort of clear-headed analysis. And one of the commentators was saying, you know, there's so much ill will in terms of globally for the United States still that it was probably, in retrospect, even though a lot of people thought Chicago was a front runner, in retrospect, it's just too soon, you know, after the war and the turmoil. And that this person was saying, this was sort of a professional IOC watcher, that if Obama hadn't gone, it probably would have been even worse. And so the general consensus among the, you know, the IOC watchers and is that it was just too soon after the Iraq War.
Mm-hmm.
It was too soon after Bush, and that's why, you know, this ultimately failed.
But, Eric, you're right about it. Right? Well, really, it just is bizarro world. It's like that was literally Karl Rove explaining how Barack Obama apparently has frittered away all the love and admiration that George Bush earned for us around the world.
And his point made no sense. He's basically going, Rove is upset that Obama is apologizing for everything and saying we're going to make it better, and that's why, you know, America was slapped down. I mean, it makes no sense if he was, you know, if a Republican had sort of continued the Bush policies, then Rove's, you know, claim would make sense. But Obama was doing exactly the opposite of what Rove was doing. He was trying to mend fences and trying to, you know, and make friends again. And so, of course, that's not why, you know, the Olympics got shot down. There was a piece in the New York Times over the weekend saying the IOC, or the U.S. Olympic Committee, seriously failed in its oversight. They need new leadership, et cetera, et cetera. And look, the New York was a finalist for the games in 2002, 2003. One of the first ones voted out. No one really thought they had a chance. Mayor Bloomberg was pushing that, and you know, and a lot of people in New York didn't want it. They thought it didn't make sense. It was too congested. Why do we need more people here? And when New York was voted out, nobody said boo. Nobody said boo. There was no politics attached to it whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And but now it's just as we've been talking about.
So Eric, you know, the other thing the right was, of course, screaming about how can he go to Copenhagen? He hasn't talked to General McChrystal. Oh, he's on the plane. Okay, never mind. So General McChrystal was on the plane, but then that meeting wasn't long enough, according to Karl Rove.
You know, I've been critical of the president for not being more involved and engaged in this. I mean, I'm glad he met with McChrystal yesterday, but let's not kid ourselves. 25 minutes on Air Force One was about time to say, hey, how are you? Let me introduce your wife to my wife, and let's have a few minutes here while we talk so that my press secretary can go back and do some damage control.
Apparently, he knows exactly what went on.
Yes,
on
he's
Air
right
Force
down
One.
Right.
Yeah.
Who besides Karl Rove would you turn to for insight into military planning and the politics of those sorts of things? So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's endless. And as we've said, that you know, the theme throughout this is whatever Obama's for, they're against. And of course, you know, that's what the opposition party does. But they're taking it to just sort of a radical extreme, where it's clearly at this point that, you know, they want America to fail wherever Obama can succeed. It's really sort of unprecedented.
Eric, I know this was a big vomitous first course of right-wing world, but I have Bill O'Reilly for dessert. Can you stick with us through the break?
Sure.
All right.
Hooray!
He never says no to that. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with the last little sediments of right-wing world with Eric Bollard of Media Matters on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is The Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollard in the sidecar from Media Matters to finish up right-wing world with us today. You know, Eric, as a well-known smear merchant, according to Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Do you, because you frequently point out, what's the word we'd use? Oh, inaccuracies, perhaps, on the factor, things like that. Like, did you hear this recently? What was it, Chris? He quoted a poll. He said, I have a poll that show that, you know, the most trusted news organization is in America is Fox News. And it was some, what was it, a poll from, he finds the weirdest polls that he cites, doesn't he, Eric?
So it was probably, was it like a reader-generated poll? Or was
no,
like
it wasn't a reader-generated poll, but that same poll also said that Fox News was the most distrusted news network.
But of course, he cherry-picks.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, you're going to get that. You're going to get that polar reaction, that very strong reaction. People either think it's the gospel, and we've all met them, you know, aunts, uncles, you know, all they watch is Fox News, and you think you're, and you talk to them, and you think we're, you know, they're living on another planet. And then, you know, everyone else who sort of understands what's going on, who understands that, you know, it's no longer sort of a news organization.
But it was also
a political party.
Right. It was also some obscure poll, wasn't it? The University of something Flargan.
It was a Catholic college in Connecticut. That's right.
Well-known polling thing.
The University of Hasbrough.
Of polls in Flargan. Okay, Bill O'Reilly.
We did a poll last week asking our viewers to say which news organizations they trusted the least.
This time. Yeah.
And the New York Times was second. NBC News came in first. Why do so many people, conservatives, moderates, libertarians, have a problem with the New York Times?
Well, I think because the New York Times is a liberal newspaper.
But it's more than a liberal newspaper. It attacks. It attacks me all the time. It attacks people like me. And you're 12 to 1 liberal to conservative columnists. 12 to 1.
Actually, so this one was a poll that they took of Fox viewers, Eric.
It's always nice when you pay for a poll and you get the results you want.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's very awkward when you call the polling company.
Yeah, it's like Kentucky Fried Chicken did a poll saying fried chicken is America's favorite food.
Did he say that was a poll we conducted of our viewers or just in general?
Just in general.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I'm sure the wording was straight down the middle. Nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing more to see here. Move along.
Yeah.
All right.
No, and the idea that, you know, the New York Times attacks, you know, they've got, as far as I can count, they have like 2.5 actual liberal columnists, and that's the extent of their liberal crusade. You know, the rest of the paper is completely beltway down the middle. Elitism and doesn't attack anyone. And certainly, the New York Times announced they were going to pay even more attention to Fox News and talk radio because they've been too slow on the draw with all these great stories that are breaking
in
the right-wing media. So
Eric Bollert, a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work. Thanks, Eric.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, speaking of which, I've got to tell you what Paul Krugman said on Bill Maher this weekend, speaking of New York Times reporters. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
is not nice. She's peculiar and rude and disgusting and hot.
Why, thank you. 33 minutes after the hour.
That's on your resume, isn't it?
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Come live blog with us. As somebody did, talking about the David Letterman scandal.
Mark Drunken Biker Old Paratrooper wrote, isn't it more like worldwide pants around ankles?
Oh, come on, you kids on the live blog.
Regarding the Letterman affair.
Behave. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jonathan in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, I mean, when Sanford goes over to his mistress in Argentina, everyone's like, oh, it's fine. He doesn't need to apologize. That's fine, you know, it's just whatever. But when Obama goes over to support the U.S., they're like, oh, it's horrible, it's horrible.
All right, I don't think anyone said whatever. I think they said, where the is the governor, and why can't we reach him?
Yeah.
Sherry in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph, thank you so much. I just wanted to say that they ought to give this president some time. This didn't happen like in 1 year. It happened in 8 years. Obama's doing everything that he can to get it done, and he's getting it done right. So these liberals ought to be quiet, the progressives ought to be quiet, and just have the faith that they put in him and let him do his job. He's only been in office for less than a year.
You know, Sherry, Michael Moore said the same thing. Well, actually on this show last week, but on Bill Maher over the weekend as well. I tend to agree with you. I think it's America, and we can voice our dissent and hold his feet to the fire, but you know, I agree with you that this did not happen overnight, and they are not easy problems to solve.
No, they're not, and it's like it's our own people that's doing it, Stephanie. You know, I can understand the right wing, and they're going to crazy, and they're going to do whatever they want and say whatever they want because they're nut jobs. But we as liberals and progressives ought to know what it takes to build a nation, and it certainly doesn't take 9 months or 10 months to do it.
Yes.
It takes a lot longer than that.
Exactly. So stop going all Kyle. That was the Jim Ward character from the primaries that would scream and spin on his back.
I want everything right now, or I'll just kill the world.
Vote for Kucinich. Okay. That would be the Kyle. The I, if I don't get everything I want exactly when I want it, I'm voting for Senator.
Having said that, if he doesn't get health care done soon, it's not going to look pretty in 2010.
No, I agree, but it's not just a he. That's the problem, is there's a whole Congress.
Yeah, I just wish he had jumped on it sooner and gone with single payer and negotiated from there.
At any rate, I was mentioning Bill O'Reilly. Our last Right Wing World Bite was him talking about the New York Times. Is they're all what did he say? They're just liberal and attack blah blah blah.
Yeah, all they do is attack him.
Paul Krugman was on Bill Maher, and you know, Jim, it seems to me, first of all, they don't give Nobel Prizes out like candy. He's an economist. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, numbers and the economy, they're not necessarily, you know, partisan things. I mean, he just makes good sense to me. He just was saying, I don't understand how, you know, we've gotten in this situation economically. That he said they're right. They just want to keep doing what got us here. Like, you're going, he has a Nobel, but he seems to have the, you know, the simplicity of understanding. You're going, you can't do the same thing. You can't do the same tax cuts and the same. It's like, what? He said that seems to be their only plan on the right. Let's do more of the same.
Less regulation, lower taxes. Because that works so well.
Which actually was kind of funny, is Bill Maher reading a Sarah Palin quote.
Oh, God.
Paul Krugman. But, you know, because you try to even make sense of her simplistic gobbledygook. And that's what he was saying. He said it's just what Bush did, only more. Who does that make sense to?
Right.
Like, what? You know, how could we possibly have gotten here over, you know, the whole 8 years of the Bush administration if he was doing the right thing? I mean, how could we have gotten where we are economically? It's I don't think anybody in their right mind doesn't think Obama inherited this. Also, speaking of New York Times columnists, Julie in Seattle writes, Steph, last week Anderson Cooper discussed whether the anti-Obama thing may have gotten a tad out of hand with the enormous heap of blubber with a mouth known as Gambling Bill Bennett. Anderson reviewed some of the recent insurrectionist tidbits like the Newsmax coup. You know, they were suggesting a military coup against President Obama. Representative Obama is an enemy of humanity. Remember, there was a Republican While those giant CNN screens featured photos of Obama, Hitler, a giant Obama with vampire teeth dripping blood, signs with hordes of demons with Obama heads being paraded around by old, crazy-looking, fat white people. Then Anderson brought up Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist Thomas Friedman's column. Did you read that? It was a humdinger. Comparing the campaign to delegitimize Obama with the political atmosphere in Israel right before Rabin was assassinated. This is an actual transcript from CNN. Anderson Cooper, things have gotten pretty rough. Bill, do you think this is dangerous? Bennett, no, there's always nuts out there. Cooper, Thomas Friedman is a nut? Bennett, yes, he's a nut.
What?
I mean, this is, again, you cannot agree with Paul Krugman or Thomas Friedman, but they're not nuts.
Right.
You know, anyway, yes, he's a nut. The Midwest of the United States is not Israel. But I've been to tea parties, and there are concerned Americans.
Oh,
I'm attending one myself. I wish Thomas Friedman would go back and talk about the people at Bush rallies with signs that said Bush should be killed and blow up his effing house.
Who said that?
No, exactly. This is the thing that they throw out. And then did anybody remember anything like that?
No. Not at all.
You could go back and find file footage, I'm sure, if anything like that existed.
People were protesting his policies.
Yeah.
They weren't threatening violence against him personally. That's what right-wingers do.
Yeah, one might have remembered that if there were actual signs that said Bush should be killed or blow up his effing house.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
He does know that if you aborted every black baby, crime would go down.
Yes, well, that's one
thing.
So,
who can argue with that?
I do know that it's true that if you wanted to reduce crime, you could, if that were your sole purpose... You could abort every black baby in this country, and your crime rate would go down.
Mm. Mm. He seems oddly, Jim, one of those people on the right that doesn't suss out any racism these days against the president. He doesn't see where that could be coming from.
Right.
The fine American and prize-winning Thomas Friedman. Oh, by the way, the writers on the left often have actual prizes, like Pulitzers and Nobels.
Yes.
Unlike the... who was the right-wing writer I quoted last week?
Oh,
they called him the prize-winning...
The guy
who wrote the coup. Thing.
Yeah, yeah.
From Newsmax.
Prize-winning writer.
They didn't specify what sort of prize.
Peanuts and a prize that you get in Cracker Jack.
We'll put up our prize-winning writers against your prize-winning writers.
Or it could have been the participation ribbon he won while playing t-ball as a tot.
I need to do some more investigation as to what sort of prize he won. Pulitzer Prize
but it wasn't
winning
an Emmy.
Thomas Friedman wrote, I want to add my voice because the parallels to Israel then and America today turn my stomach. He's talking about the Rabin assassination. I have no problem with any of the substantive criticism of President Obama from the right or the left, but something very dangerous is happening. Criticism from the far right has begun tipping over into delegitimization and creating the same
for you to say.
Mm-hmm, and creating the same kind of climate here that existed in Israel on the eve of the Rabin assassination. What kind of madness is it that when someone would create a poll on Facebook asking respondents, should Obama be killed? The choices were no, maybe yes, and yes if he cuts my health care. The Secret Service is now investigating. I hope they put the jerk in jail and throw away the key because this is exactly what was being done to Rabin. Anyway, Thomas Friedman just pointed, it was a good piece on a lot of the parallels and scariness that...
Apparently it was a kid who put up that thing. So I'm told.
It was a kid who put up the Facebook poll.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more worried about the people who answered the poll.
Yes, exactly. I thought it was a right.
Those are the people the Secret Service should be talking to.
So this is the part of the environment we are living in. Conservatives gathered in Virginia for the American for Prosperity's Defending the American Dream Summit, which apparently does not include ever hosting the Olympics. It featured speakers such as Newt Gingrich and right-wing radio host Hugh Hewitt. When the IOC announced the U.S. was eliminated from the running, they immediately laughed and applauded. The Weekly Standard World headquarters also erupted in cheers when the announcement was made. Isn't that nice? Okay.
Yes, fewer jobs for Americans. Woo!
Yeah,
that would have been a few hundred thousand jobs, by the way.
Way to root against America, Weekly Standard.
Mm-hmm. The president.
Although I wish that we had come back with better news from Copenhagen, I could not be prouder of my hometown of Chicago. The volunteers were involved.
All right, and David Axelrod, Obama's top advisor on the IOC.
The IOC, as I said, has its own politics that transcend these things, and we simply couldn't overcome them.
Yeah, like 8 years of George Bush, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
That's what one member was saying. The IOC don't like us, and once again, something's going to be a little tough to overcome in 8 months of mm-hmm. a new presidency, but good on him for trying. All right, 42 minutes after the hour. Yeah, who was it? Eric Mollert was just saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting standard for leadership. No president can try anything unless he knows for sure he's going to succeed. We shouldn't trade. Well, you know what? We should just forget health care reform.
Landing on the moon. I don't think
so. No.
That might not work.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 42 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the economy as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Forty-seven minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 51 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. Comedian extraordinaire, actress and comedian Nikki Sullivan, Nicole Sullivan, formerly of MTV, coming up on the Celebrity
Mad TV,
Mad TV.
Oh, Stephanie.
One of the things the kids is watching these days.
Mad TV?
Whatever.
No, it's no longer.
I know.
But the kids are watching Rita Rocks on Lifetime, which is her
new show.
Well, it's her show. It's the second season. Yes.
Exactly. All right. Don't bother me.
What?
All right. So the calling the higher-than-expected job losses in September sobering, President Obama said the still-sputtering economy makes the need for health care reform even more urgent. That's exactly what I've been saying, is that when we keep saying, oh, well, see, we can't afford this now, we can't afford not to do this
right now.
He said entrepreneurs aren't creating new businesses because they fear they'll lose health care coverage. Small business owners are having trouble covering their employers. He said rising health care costs are undermining our businesses, exploding our deficits, costing our nation more jobs with each passing month. Reforming health care, he argued, would serve as a critical step in rebuilding our economy so that our entrepreneurs can pursue the American dream again and our small businesses can grow and expand and create new jobs again. I get the feeling, you know, Afghanistan, don't ask, don't tell, a lot of stuff that's coming up and people are like, when's it going to do? I really think he's trying to get health care done. I mean, mm-hmm. I really feel like that's, you know, as he said, has been job one, and he just explained why, because it has to do with the whole economy. And I agree. I wish we could just get this done.
However, you know, people are starting to turn. I mean, you know, the first sketch on Saturday Night Live this past Saturday night was about how Obama.
What have I done?
Yeah.
Two things.
Yeah, that wasn't that.
Diddly
was...
and squat.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that was not fair. They played a clip of that on Meet the Press, and people reacted, and you know. I agree that I just think it's not fair. It's like, as one of our callers just said earlier, I get as frustrated on some things as anybody does, but it's, you know, I just think that's really unfair. To think that, you know, I guess Rachel Maddow reacted to the clip and said that he would, that this stuff would all be done. She said, you know, I'm one of the loudest critics on the left sometimes of things Obama does, but she said, I really didn't think it would be wrapped up. I mean, really, to make a joke out of that Iraq and Afghanistan are not wrapped up by now, are you kidding me? Or that this economy would be out of the hole by now?
But
I think, I mean, pretty much all of the top economists have said we have been pulled back from the brink.
Absolutely, but people are getting antsy, and that's just the reality of the situation.
And he gave too much credit, I think, to the Republicans and say, you know, let's have your ideas. They don't have any, and he should have, you know,
called
dropped
them out
a hammer
on
at some point.
Yep.
But
well,
he let it drag out, and it's really cut into his...
But, Jim, again, you know, I got to say, this is what he ran on. I mean, he got a lot of Republicans to vote for him.
True.
A lot of independents, Republicans, and you know, you can't say, oh, well, he should have tried bipartisanship, but only for a month. I mean, it's only been 8 months, and I think he's really trying, the president.
It's a balancing act.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Today's job report is a sobering reminder that progress comes in fits and starts, and that we're going to need to grind out this recovery, step by step.
He went on to talk about the jobs again.
And since the period last winter when we were losing an average of 700,000 jobs per month, we've certainly made some progress on this front.
Former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan predicted yesterday that the jobless rate will pass 10% and stay there for a while. Mm-hmm. He spoke favorably of extending unemployment benefits and tax credits for health insurance options the Obama administration is considering for helping people laid off during the recession. You know, so yeah. Look, Chris, I'm living in this economy too. Trust me.
Oh yeah, we all are.
We're all nervous. I know. I mean, I'm not. You know, but I'm just saying. You know, like our caller said, I get impatient with people that get so incredibly impatient. And maybe part of it is that we have been out of power so long. People are like, "What? I thought we were going to get it." But I mean, that Saturday Night Live sketch was a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Of what? Are you really kidding me? Come on. It's like, I get a joke's a joke, but it's like, really? You thought he was going to have Iraq solved, Afghanistan solved, the economy? What else was on there? Oh, health care reform.
Yeah.
First of all, we are going to get health care reform. It's just, it's a question of what kind and how, you know, and when.
Right.
But it's like, come on. I thought the premise of the sketch was really fair.
But people who don't marinate in politics all day long like we do, you know, they're just casual observers. They're like, okay, why hasn't change
Why
come?
We were promised change. All the problems?
Yeah. So,
Joe Biden talking about the economic crisis.
There will be peaks and valleys in this process. This is not a straight line to recovery, but we are recovering.
All right. Senator Mitch McChinless on the vice president's comments.
The vice president said about the stimulus package a little while back, and this is a direct quote, "In my wildest dreams, I never thought it would work this well." Well, we don't see any evidence whatsoever that the stimulus package is having an impact on this growing problem.
I don't see any evidence of an upper lip when I look in the mirror. Yeah, so it's,
Oh, boy.
I'm
going to
think there's something wrong with my mirror.
Doesn't
I can't see upper lip.
Doesn't matter what it is, Olympics, whatever, that's all they have is to root for America to fail. I mean, it just, most economists that I've heard talk about this is say that, yes, of course it's helping. You know, that probably pulled us back from the brink of a second depression.
Yeah, we were in a nosedive and we've leveled off, so that's progress.
Right, and nobody, including the president, is saying things are great, but it's just like, what is Mitch McConnell? He wants the stimulus not to work.
Yes.
He wants Americans not to...
I want the entire country to fail.
He wants America to fail.
I want the country to be destroyed in a gigantic nuclear fireball so that then we can pick up the pieces.
Yeah, good
Representative Kevin Brady, Republican of Texas.
The numbers don't look good, and if you counted the 807,000 American workers who just gave up, they aren't in the workforce, they aren't in the market anymore, the unemployment rate would be much higher than that.
Oh, now they're talking about that. When George Bush was in charge,
yeah,
that would be a crazy conspiracy theory.
Dan in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Big Business. Hello, Dan.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you.
I drive a semi. I'm all over the United States. Mm-hmm. And I go into these docks to get loaded and stuff. And, I've known the people there because I've got 35 years out here. And most of them are doing three times the work for the same amount of pay or a little less. and asked him why. Well, the boss, you know, has laid everybody off. He could hire them back because they're doing the same productivity. That's why the stock market's, you know, their stocks are up, but they just, you know, they want Obama to fail because big business is the Republican Party.
Yeah, yeah.
And without big business, you know, saying let's forget politics and let's put our workers back to work.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. Right. I know. That's the thing. Talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face. Whatever will make the president look bad is it seems to be. You know. But you're right. It's like it's getting too scary out here economically to not. I think that was part of Thomas Friedman's column I was talking about in the Times that. What's sad is there's no we anymore. You know, he said when the president says we, as Americans, that's the problem. There is no we.
Right.
Kimo Sabe. He's the other half. They're not rooting for you. I mean, they're not rooting for America while you run it, unfortunately. Let's go to Drew in Cape May, New Jersey. Hey, Drew, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I agree that things can be done overnight, but there are certain things that should have been done. The attorney generals haven't been replaced, the ones that put Paul Miner and Don Spiegelman in jail. There's also the financial industry. I mean, why aren't we using Robert Reich and Paul Krugman instead of
Larry
Geithner.
Summers and Geithner, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Drew, again, we weren't the hugest fans to start with, but, you know, again, most places that I've read, you know, a cogent economic analysis have said that the things they've done have been right so far and pulled us back from the brink of a recession. So
maybe economically, but what about the attorney generals? You have Paul Miner was in jail. He couldn't even see his wife who's dying of cancer. And they haven't done anything to address that, the attorney general scandal. I mean, what's Eric Holder doing?
Well, look, that's the problem is there are so many things. And again, that you're once again talking about stuff left over from the Bush administration. Yeah. Those are Bush administration crimes.
Yes.
That, yes, I agree. Eric Holder needs to get to. But, you know, I think they're literally trying to take one disaster at a time and clean it up from the Bush administration. Let's go to Catherine in Tucson. Hey, Catherine.
Hi, speaking of disaster, health coverage, Congress is bickering back and forth. Well, this is what the American people want. No, I know what the American people want. Well, what the American people want is for all y'all to give up your health plan completely, just like we have nothing, you take nothing,
right,
until you just calm down, straighten it out.
Right. Well, this is the other thing, Catherine. Again, all this screaming so far about President Obama, you're like, where's our health care reform from 8 years of President Bush? You know, this is part of it.
Well, they needed more time to think about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, Todd in Orlando, real quick. Hey, Todd.
Yes, hello, Stephanie. Hey, I'm a young black man. I'm the same age as Obama, very proud of him. But I'm frustrated also. Something simple like Iraq, we went there fast. Why can't we just pack up our tents and get out? And
well, we'll tell you why when we get back. All right, and stand-up news as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Actress Nicole Sullivan, formerly of Mad TV, now of the new Lifetime show, Rita Rocks.
Rita Rocks. Yes. It's hysterical. Have you seen it?
She is hysterical. She's one of the funniest
yes.
women alive. She will be with us on the Celebrity Hotline in just a few minutes.
And she just had a child.
I can't wait to
talk. I had nothing to do with it.
As far as we know, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice of deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, it's a very timely guess the quote, Jim.
Oh, no.
Who said since Congressman Grayson said that the Republican plan for health care is don't get sick and die quickly, Grayson has become this week's punching bag for conservative wads of who want to equate his words with Representative Joe insert banjo music Wilson's don't lie fart during the president's health care speech. Who said that?
Jackie Gleason.
No, the rude pundit who was on with us in hour number one today and will be up on StephanieMiller.com after the show. Check it out if you Here it is. Hilarious and rude. Who wrote, beyond the hypocrisy of the death panel people saying someone's being too mean, it should also be pointed out that Grayson didn't just bray out of nowhere like he was getting by a donkey. He was recognized and speaking in turn. Who said that?
Red Skelton.
No, the Rude Pundit, who is with us every Monday morning in the first hour of the Stephanie Miller program. That'll be up, the interview will be up on StephanieMiller.com after the show. All right, so it was another edition of Republicans Hate America this weekend. Just mindless celebration in the, what was the Weekly Standard? The offices erupted in cheers when America lost the Olympics. And it's some other right-wing whack convention that Newt Gingrich was speaking at.
Frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe it's always a worthwhile endeavor to promote and boost the United States of America.
The city of Chicago, having obtained the least number of votes, will not participate in the next round.
Oh, it's so sweet.
As Chicago is handed a stunning defeat, the right wing claims victory.
Let me just quickly ask you, Carl, is this a humiliation for the president?
Absolutely, and he got exactly what he deserved.
Even if you're getting heckled from the cheap seats, the worst day of Obama's presidency, folks, the ego has landed.
This attack on President Obama is about the most un-American thing I think I've ever seen.
For them to be cheering America's loss here on the right, I think is sort of disgusting.
Ha, thank you. If you missed Right Wing World today, yeah, we had Rush Limbaugh called the president, what was it, Chris, a blithering idiot, and
yeah.
We're being governed by an imbecile.
Yeah.
For not getting the Olympics.
That will also be up at StephanieMiller.com shortly after the show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. By the way, I think, Jim, I've actually sussed out the reason why we did not get the Olympics, and that is because we are putting a McDonald's in the Louvre.
Who's we?
Oh, actually, there were three of them along the Champs-Élysées when I was there 30 years ago.
Really?
So oh, yeah.
We put
yeah.
a Starbucks in the Louvre, and now there is a McDonald's going into
the famous...
That
seems like sacrilege.
Yeah, you really shouldn't do that.
Yes. They are aghast. Aghast.
That's what they should be.
I wonder if you can get a quarter pounder avec fromage.
Royal with cheese.
Can I have my fries with my Mona Lisa? Yeah, that's... All right.
You would hope the cheese would be better, at least.
Yeah. A nice brie or a camembert.
Mm. Yes, a camembert cheeseburger.
Camembert.
Cheeseburger. Okay, if you thought you had some dating horror stories, how about this one? A Detroit man has been sentenced to at least 2 years in prison for stealing a woman's car after skipping out on the check during their first date.
Nice.
Hmm. Somebody with a worse life than mine. Police say McCoy dined with the 27-year-old Southfield woman at a restaurant in Ferndale. The woman told investigators that he said he forgot his wallet in her car and asked for the keys.
Oh.
Police say he then took off in the car.
Wow.
So that would be a first date horror story. All right.
That's never happened to you, has it?
that I can remember. I've already been too drunk. Let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we? Kids? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee, it's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchorperson, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. You know, I'm flying to Madison, Wisconsin this Saturday. Check the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com. Come on out and see Mama and Bill Press in Madison. There's always some disturbance on a flight. Right before I fly.
Yes, there is.
This one, however, on Air India. The pilots and cabin crew of an Air India flight brawled at 30,000 feet after a steward...
The crew and the
yes.
pilots?
And the pilots. After a stewardess accused a co-pilot of sexual harassment, the cockpit of the Airbus 320...
Was Roger
Hedgehog involved?
The cockpit of the Airbus. The Airbus cockpit.
Mm, yeah.
Was reportedly left unmanned during the scuffle, and at one point a pilot allegedly threatened to land the flight in Pakistan, which it was flying over. According to Indian media reports, crew members threw punches and hurled abuse at each other in full view of 106 passengers. Police in Delhi said the 24-year-old stewardess accused one of the flight deck crew of trying to molest her and then pushing her out of the cockpit when she resisted. All right, do we have
wow.
the audio? Yes, we do indeed.
Welcome aboard Holika Airlines. I am your captain, Ranbir Arora. The first officer is Aditya Chopra. Yes, Deepak is his cousin. And we hope you enjoy your flight to Delhi. By Jove, oh yes. Regardless of what that Salakuta male flight attendant says. And don't believe a word from that Salikuti Rundi female flight attendant either. She is a lying Rundika Bacha. don't you talk to her like that. I will call her whatever I want to cut the kitchen. Oh, no, you've gone too far, you know. Oh, yes, my Jove. Oh, no. That's 30 minutes. Flight attendants, prepared cabin for landing. Thank you for flying in Holy Cow Airlines. Ow. We realize you don't have much of a choice when flying out of Sharjah. Nonetheless, thank you for choosing... Ah, you know what? No kosher meal for you. Put that in your chapati and smoke it. You're the drunk at that. Sunny better than that. Done more candy. Done running. What is that? I'm gonna run.
Oh dear.
And that's exactly how it happened.
Air India doesn't fly to Madison, do they?
No, I don't think they do. No.
And finally, yes, someone with even a worse weekend. The headline is, police, feces-covered naked man jumps into backyard pool.
Again?
Mm-hmm.
I hate when that happens.
In Stuart, Florida, a Florida man facing charges after authorities said he was naked and covered in feces when he broke into a resident's backyard and jumped into the pool. Here's
that's
the thing you didn't see.
Why was he covered?
They don't say.
Oh, okay.
Here's the part you know would be in error at some point. He told deputies he had been drinking.
Yeah,
huh.
Normally, one would say, you suss out that alcohol may have been involved. Mm-hmm.
Has this ever happened to you? You are for a night on the town mixing tequila shots with Midori, Boilermakers with Goldschlager, Yukon Jack with Rumpelmintz, and Benedictine with Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill, and suddenly, you wind up naked, save for a 3-inch layer of human excrement, thrashing around in someone's pool at 3 a.m. Been there, done that. Why suffer the embarrassment of posing for a mugshot completely naked while reeking of... Let alone being dropped into a cell full of leering perverts, hoping someone you know can cough up $10,000 to bail you out before you get gang raped? Well, fret no more. Get Popeil's Pocket Deep Pooper. Next time you're stumbling around in the dark and fall into someone's decaying cesspool, Popeil's patented poop repellent forms an electromagnetic shield around your body. Say no to stinking, fetid, putrid, poopy residue.
What?
So no, I'm stinking, fetid, putrid, poopy residue comes in contact with your skin. You'll be the boozer in the bubble. A bubble of electrically charged... And the patented Popeil poop-protecting pocket thing also guards against would-be rapists in the drunk tank. Just one predatory poke of the perps pee-pee, huh? And that'll be one weenie roast you'll never forget. Get Popeil's Pocket Deep Pooper today. Warning, do not use near water or in conjunction with Viagra. Do we have to draw you a picture?
No, I get it.
Yeah, thanks.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. I would like a picture, but no.
Check out jim-ward.com, my MySpace page or something like that. You can see my little skit I put together.
Darren, Darren in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
How are you?
Hi, go ahead.
I'd like to point out the one thing that's upsetting me about Obama right now is that he seems to be putting a lot of band-aids on the symptoms of the problems we're having.
Like?
But he doesn't seem to be attacking the cause.
Like
the
disease.
What? Well, NAFTA is one, big one. We're losing jobs, we're hemorrhaging jobs, and we're always going to hemorrhage jobs as long as we have a free trade agreement with third world countries.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you know, that's the problem. All the calls we've taken this morning, it's just everybody has some issue with the president. There's one thing that, and all I can say is I feel like he has always said from day one, healthcare is number one, and that's what he's trying to get done first. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, nobody's saying there aren't a lot of problems we got to solve. Here's one thing that gave me some hope on healthcare. Max Baucus, the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee.
Yeah.
May have brought Congress closer than it has ever been to passing a comprehensive reform, but his plan is likely to be a template for the final bill. The list of unresolved issues is long and complex. The point is they're going to meld the two, as we've often talked about, as everybody's been screaming about just the Senate Finance Bill and the, you know, the watered-down piece of drool that it is. However... reportedly, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid will begin huddling next week with other top Democrats to meld the two competing Senate bills. And apparently he's been told by a lot of top Democrats a public option has got to be in this.
Yes. Yeah.
In the melded bill. For all the buildup to the Baucus markup, many senators decided to hold their fire in the conservative-leaning Senate Finance Committee. They kept their favorite amendments out of the fray in the hopes they'd have a better chance when the bills are merged or on the floor of the Senate or even in House-Senate conference. As we've said, this is only one of the many bills. All the other bills have a strong public option. So This is given the Bakasbill a feeling of being far from the final word. Chuck Schumer says that he believes his best shot for the public options during the conference committee, the employer mandate. Senator Kerry said he punted on Senate finance. He's going to bring it back. So, you know, this isn't done yet is the point, you know, because everybody overreacts, I think, to every little thing that gets into the press.
It's what we do. We're Democrats.
We overreact.
Yes.
There's no public. Oh, okay. Never mind. Senator Mike Crapo, Republican of...
aptly named. Mike Crapo.
Wow.
On the health care debate.
The president said that those who make less than $250,000 a year will pay not one dime of new taxes in any form. And that's simply not true in this bill.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Computer says yes.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Pretty much it is.
Yeah.
This is what I just don't get. How at least Republicans that disagree with maybe anything the president stands for cannot see how the medical system, what do you call it, the healthcare reform system is just broken.
Mm-hmm.
And it is part of what has got to be fixed in order to fix our economy. Senator Mitch McChinless.
Unnecessarily creating a big issue for themselves. They've already got a bill that's in trouble. We all know that.
Really now?
All the queasiness about this bill is on the Democratic side, not the Republican side.
That's because it's too watered down, but as soon as we beef it back up again, I think we'll be fine. Representative Nancy Pelosi.
We're on our way. We will have health insurance reform. It will be significant, and it will be soon.
Okay. All right. Fernando in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Fernando.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Okay, listen, my beef is this, is like, if Wall Street's too big to fail, then we're too rich to die, you know? And I mean, we're too poor to die. I'm sorry.
What?
We're too sick to die. I'm sorry. Hmm. Huh? Did you get that?
No.
I think I'll leave that there.
Yeah,
all right.
He messed that one up.
If Wall...
you wait, understand his
again.
Point.
If,
okay. All right. 20 minutes. Do you pick up what he's putting down? Okay.
I'm buying what he's selling.
Good. 20 minutes after the hour. Another sticky wicket. Afghanistan. We'll tell you what's next there as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
23 minutes after the hour, the Dow up 62 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim, one last, I guess, the quote for you today. Who said, Congressman Grayson just pointed out that mother... They're mothers. It's that simple. Who said that?
Dick Grayson.
The Rude Pundit, who is our guest every Monday in hour number one.
I know who Dick Grayson is. That's Robin.
Yes.
That interview will be up on stephaniemiller.com after the show. Check out. Okay, let's go to Alan in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Alan.
Hi, how are you doing? I'm a long-time listener and finally got up the courage to call.
Oh, thank you. You are plucky. Go ahead.
I'm really angry today because one of my theories has been taken by one of my idols. Paul Krugman right now on Huffington Post says the conservative movement has the emotional maturity of a bratty 13-year-old.
Yep, absolutely. You know, here's the thing that's bad news is some of the Republicans trying to save the Republican Party.
Computer says no.
Like Steve Schmidt, who was the top political strategist for both John McCain and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
He spoke candidly about the state of the Republican Party. He said the party holistically is bereft of ideas. Asked about Sarah Palin's political future prospects, Schmidt argued that she could conceivably win the Republican nomination because of her popularity with the base. However, that would be catastrophic because Palin has alienated mainstream America.
I think that she has talents, but... You know, my honest view is that she would not be a winning candidate for the Republican Party in 2012. And in fact, were she to be the nominee, we could have a catastrophic election result.
But really, really entertaining. So I'm just saying, Jim, that would be, for comedy purposes, an Obama-Palin race.
Oh, gosh. Wouldn't you love to see that debate?
Why do you hate America?
Oh, because it would be good for comedy.
Oh, God.
Oh, and it would be like the trouncing of all time. It would just, the debates alone. Yes. Party, party, party.
You know absolutely nothing about the government of this country.
Let's go to...
ignorance is bliss.
Tim in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I'd like to
to know why the question has never been posed. Why does Rupert Murdoch hate America so much? He's dedicated a television network to dividing this country in order to destroy it. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget he is married to, as Rush Limbaugh calls, a Chi-Com, who did have a Mao Zedong poster on her wall when she was in college.
Wow. Okay. I do agree with the first part of his whole premise, and that is that Fox News obviously hates America. That was a nonstop party on Friday when America lost the Olympics. It could not have been happier about it.
A lot of people had posters on their walls in college.
Oh, who doesn't have a Mao poster?
I mean, who didn't have a Che Guevara poster? I mean,
it was required.
Yeah.
Masha in Houston, Texas. Hey, Masha.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, look here. I just want to say that the Republicans need to stop being hypocrites. They need to stop bashing Obama, trying to find all kinds of things to blame on him.
Oh, please. You might as well tell the sun to stop coming out. Whatever. They need to stop that now, that whole...
The wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
What do you mean? Why are they
so
mad? Uh-huh. Okay, Walter in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Walt.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. We're talking about that Saturday Night Live skit. I seem to have got something different out of that. It seems to me that they're... by saying that Obama has done nothing and he's trying to turn the country into a Soviet dictatorship, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. What's the point? That he has so much power or that he has the power to do nothing?
Exactly. They're saying he's doing both at the same time. And how can you do that? It's very hypocritical.
Yeah. We take, shots at obviously both the left and the right, Walter, but I just disagree with the premise of the sketch, didn't you? Like 8 months in?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the whole point, is they're trying to make him seem like he's done nothing, but yet at the same time he's doing this socialism thing at the same time.
Well, and the point is, the premise is wrong. I mean, he's going to get health care reform done. He will make a decision on Afghanistan. I don't know what it is.
It was reflecting liberals growing impatience with him. That's what it was about.
All right, 28 minutes after the hour, actress Nicole Sullivan next on the Celebrity Hotline on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Or else maybe I'm crazy. Now, you know what? I take that back. I am definitely crazy. My life is a mess.
Ha ha! 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right.
And the Dow is up 61 right now.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right.
More evidence Obama's failing.
See?
The Dow's, it's only up 61.
Oh, all right. A top U.S. commander's public plea for more troops in Afghanistan prompted a mild rebuke Sunday from the White House National Security Advisor. Did you see him on the show's General James Jones? He said decisions on how to best stabilize Afghanistan and beat back the insurgency must extend beyond troop levels to development and governance. Mm. And I think it might be good to think this through just a bit. General Stanley McChrystal, obviously, asking for up to 40,000 more troops. He said this is just one of three key elements that advisors must consider as they meet this weekend to plot the way ahead. He added that it's better for military advice to come through the chain of command rather than off the public stage, referring to Ms. Crystal's speech, which is what I was saying, too. That I'm unclear, obviously, the whole strategy here, but you don't want to be, in my opinion, talking in the media before you're talking to the commander-in-chief. He also said, I don't foresee a return of the Taliban. Afghanistan is not in imminent danger of falling. The Al-Qaeda presence is very diminished. The maximum estimate is less than 100 operating in the country. No bases, no ability to launch attacks on either us or allies. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary.
They both agree that this is a helpful process. General McChrystal expects that the president and others are going to ask him questions about the assessment that he's made.
Yeah, so they've obviously placed President Obama in a bind in terms of already going public with the policy. Obviously, it already has the right screaming that,
right,
he's taking too much time now. And you remember John McCain's policy in the election, Jim, was just go, do, now,
go,
strike.
Do something.
We
jump
must kill
up and down.
Everybody.
Set your hair
now
on fire. Just go. Don't think. Do
we
go.
Have to strike. Action. Annihilate. Kill. Kill. Kill.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Did we think about going into Vietnam? No, we just did it.
and it worked out so well. Oh, boy.
While a war council taking place behind closed doors at the White House, top military officials have made no secret of their view that without a vast ground force, the Afghan mission could end in failure. Some commentators, of course, say the military ought to keep its advice private without trying to influence the public debate. The New York Times columnist Frank Rich, the best columnist in the world, in my opinion.
Although I think Paul Krugman might take issue with that.
Yeah.
Accusing the generals of an attempt to try to lock him, lock Obama in on Afghanistan. Top brass apparently keen to avoid a repeat of the run-up to the Iraq War under George Bush when military leaders bowed to White House demands for a small invasion force. That was Rumsfeld's idea with disastrous consequences.
The invasion force you have, not the one you wish you had. Jiminy Christmas, my stars. Isn't that clear to...
Yeah, when you're making a rash
Tom,
decision to rush into an unnecessary war, you just go. You do.
Yeah, you don't want to think about it. My gosh, people might change their minds.
The debate obviously pits mostly hawks on the right, demanding that Obama promptly endorse the commander's request for more troops against voices on the left who raise the specter of a quagmire akin to Vietnam. Yeah, it seems to me that you might want to read just a skosh bit about history in both places, in Afghanistan and Iraq, to figure out. The White House, apparently some members of Obama's team have been reading Lessons in Disaster, a book about the flawed decision-making in the Vietnam War. In the book, Gordon Goldstein suggests the late President John F. Kennedy, if he had lived, would have rejected the military's demand for combat troops in Vietnam,
as he
had lost faith in his general's advice after the Bay of Pigs fiasco.
And he was already beginning to pull out when he was killed.
I thought you were going with a Marilyn Monroe joke there, but okay.
Oh, okay.
Perhaps this is Obama's JFK moment, George Packer of The New Yorker wrote in his blog, we'll know in a few weeks.
It makes me nervous saying Obama and JFK moment in the same sentence.
I don't think he meant it like that.
I know.
All right. Yeah, but after the George Bush administration, I really am fine with thinking through military strategy because, we've talked about this, Chris. Mm-hmm. This one above my pay grade, you know. I'm obviously a very anti-war person as someone on the left, but once again, huge mush, mess that the Bush administration got us into that yes. And I'm not clear what the strategy is now. I know that we didn't finish the job at Tora Bora. I know we did, but now what do we do?
Yeah, I mean, assuming Osama bin Laden's still alive, he's not in Afghanistan
right.
anymore.
You were saying the Saturday Night Live sketch, Jim, and I think that's true, was about, people on the left getting impatient. We just had one guy saying, why aren't we out of Iraq now? I agree we got to get out of Iraq, but I also think
it's
you can't, you can't just get out. Obviously, it was an unnecessary, in my opinion, illegal war, but, we're in. So I think, again, that's unfair, as Rachel Maddow said, I meet the press to expect these two wars were going to be wrapped up in 8 months. All right. Did I mention Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
Some people are the best sketch people that have ever lived. And one of them would
And they've never been on Saturday Night Live.
They've been on Mad TV.
That's right.
Nicole Sullivan, my personal favorite.
Hello.
Good morning, Nicole Sullivan. It's not often I have a guest that has drunk in large quantities of wine at my house before.
That's right. And gone are the days that we've done that. We haven't done that in a while. We need to.
I know. Well, what with you going and getting pregnant all the time, for God's sakes.
Amen.
Many people may not know you're a very good friend of my nephew who you went to college with.
I did. Polly.
Polly.
Yes.
So I had no
idea. Love him.
I haven't seen you in a while, but I remain...
Where have you been?
I'm good. I remain a big geeky fangirl of yours, as you know.
Oh, sweetie. And I of yours.
Well, now, thank you, honey. Now, wait. You just gave birth when?
5 weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yay.
I heard a fun fact about you that you won the L.A. scavenger hunt when you were several months pregnant.
Yeah. Oh, but no, here's the thing. We didn't actually win. We came in second, but if there was a point issue, then if we had actually gotten the point score the way we were supposed to, we would have taken first. But I don't want to kvetch.
So being pregnant did nothing to slow down your psychotic competitive streak.
No. I'm a crazy person. It took me years to realize that I'm just genuinely a competitive human being. Like, for years I was like, no, I'm not competitive. And then I was like, what am I, nuts? I want to win everything. And I was like 7 months pregnant running around the town.
Aw, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You and I used to drink together when we were both childless losers, but now you've gotten a life and a big hit show on Lifetime.
That's right.
Rita Rocks returns for the second season starting Monday, October 5th.
starting today.
Today.
We're on every night this week with the Sherry Shepherd Show, the Sherry Shepherd from The View.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be on at 7 and 7:30.
Great. And you you play Rita Clemens, wife, mother, who was once a lead singer of a Bengals-type rock band.
Yes.
And so you form a garage band.
It's a family comedy, but it's great. You know, it's really for people, the moms out there to have their story told in a comedic form. You know, it's basically like everyone who's a mom knows that the second you have kids, it's not about you anymore. And so this is like a woman who, after how many umpteen years of that, says, I want to get back to me. So she starts a rock band and rocks it out. And the cast is great. It's like Tisha Campbell Martin from My Wife and Kids, and it's Richard Ruccolo from Two Guys, a Girl in a Pizza Place. And so it's a good sort of veteran cast.
Well, and speaking of a mom, so your pregnancy actually plays a role in the season two storyline.
Yeah, it was unfortunate because I got pregnant and I was like, well, it's not really an option. I'm not one of those people like from behind. I couldn't tell she was pregnant. Like you know I'm pregnant when I'm pregnant all over. So I was like, I don't know how we're gonna hide this, folks. I think we have to write it in.
You would have had to be like that character on the old Tim Allen series. You just saw your eyes, I guess,
right.
Above a fence.
That's right, standing over the fence.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. So they wrote it in, but it's great. It works perfectly for the character, so it's cool.
Now, you, as we all know, a hilariously funny actress from Mad TV. You went to Northwestern and were in various productions with my nephew. But you've been acting, I read here, since you were 7. What sort of productions were you in at 7?
Oh, brilliant ones. I don't know. I was in a theater group when I was a little kid, actually. And it was weird. I was actually in it with Ben Stiller when we were little kids. And then years later, I worked with his dad for years on King of Queens, Jerry Stiller. But, I was in musicals and stuff like that when I was a little kid.
Oh, that is precious.
I was adorable, Stephanie, adorable.
Now, here's the thing. Since I know you personally, I love you. I love your talent. I love your politics. I have to ask your take on that. We've been talking all morning about that Saturday Night Live sketch that pretty much was about, oh, President Obama hasn't gotten anything done yet.
Right.
It's, we're 8 months in. What was your take on that?
You know, I was just actually downstairs talking to my mom about this whole thing. You know, we just need to grow a set, I think. You know, the Democratic Party needs to grow a set and sort of, I don't think he's not done anything at this. I think the impression is we're not doing anything because we're still kowtowing to people, I think.
Right.
And the minute we start doing just what they did with the war, which is really not even ask anyone, just do what they wanted to do. And if our agenda is if we just do the same thing, I think we'd end up with a lot better results and people would get health care and, good things would happen instead of bad things.
Well, I mean, that's exactly it, isn't it? Like, we're finally in power, and a lot of it, it's been, to me, the Democrats not helping him as much as they could.
Absolutely, and I think it's everyone wants to win the next election, so they're already scared about losing the next election. I'm like, well, we may lose it, but let's at least do what they did and just go on with our agenda. You know, that's what they did when they were in power.
How do you think he's doing so far? I know you've been really pretty politically involved.
Yeah, it's so hilarious. Like, right now, I'm like, I'm so a week behind on everything. I'm like, huh? Just came out of like a fog of babiness.
Well, yeah,
babiness.
Again, I really like him and respect him. I wish that he was being able to rally support more around his agenda. I feel like that's a huge part of being a politician is getting people to do what you want them to do.
Well,
I wish he had a little bit more of that going on, but.
Well, you and I are both dog lovers. Here's what maybe the new health care reform, if the Democrats don't grow actual balls, we could get them like nudicles, those things you get for your dog, the plastic ones to make them feel better.
Oh, my God. Do those really exist?
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
I just had my new puppy, Fred, was just neutered a couple weeks ago. I may get him a set of nudicles.
Fred, what kind of dog is Fred?
Fred is an 8-month-old Great Pyrenees. And you know what? He was going to be a big stud dog in Texas, and then his owners gave him up, and so we rescued him from Gentle Giants Rescue here. But here he is. He was in Texas with a giant set, and now he's owned by some neurotic woman in Hollywood.
Neurotic? Say it isn't so, Stephanie. No, sorry.
And he's like, and by the way, where are my... damn it. All right. Nicole Sullivan, Rita rocks tonight on Lifetime. The second season debuts. Good to see you, honey. I got to come visit you in the BB.
Yes, I would love to see you, sweetie. Keep up all the good work. I love your show. You're just awesome, always.
Back at you, sister. There she goes, Nicole Sullivan.
Hooray!
All right. She is hilarious. 45 minutes after the hour. Oh, no. More bad news for Senator Ensign. Oh, heavens.
Oh, say it ain't so.
We'll be back with that on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Aha, 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
So then... No, nothing.
Oh, gosh, the stories we tell during the commercial breaks, not for the kids.
Computer says no.
All right.
Were they about Nicole Sullivan?
No.
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 Hmm.
All right. All right. By the way, tomorrow's show, we have...
We have Charlie Pierce on. He's the author of Idiot America and columnist from the Boston Globe magazine.
Yes,
he's
whom we love.
Always hysterical. Mm-hmm. And you also might know him from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. He's a regular panelist.
Oh, yes.
Yes. All right, so it looks like there is a new pressure for a ethics inquiry into Senator John Ensign. And no, he has not been demoted to seaman, although that was funny. That was funny, Jim.
Because it's a non-commissioned rank in the Navy, and it's below Ensign, so you see.
You have to. It's like a law.
Yeah.
Can I ask something? How can this guy still remain in office and keep opening his pie hole about health care or anything else? Ethics experts say the latest revelations about Senator John Ensign's affair with a former aide, including the senator's efforts to help the mistress's husband obtain lobbying work, will force the Senate Ethics Committee to begin a full-blown investigation into the Nevada Republican.
He should have consulted an ethics expert.
Yeah. I don't.
I can barely say that. Ethics expert.
It just, the hypocrisy is amazing. They would have been, if this was a Democrat, they would have been screaming.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in addition, Doug Hampton, the former top staffer for Ensign and husband of Cindy Hampton, Ensign's mistress, acknowledged engaging in potential criminal acts, failing to register as a lobbyist while advocating for two Nevada corporations and violating the one-year ban on lobbying his former boss after leaving Capitol Hill. The omission could end up moving the case into the purview of the Justice Department, according to experts. And still, no Republicans calling for him to maybe teach the right thing. Might be to step down. Governor Mark Sanford?
No. What's wrong with that?
And Ensign was given a prominent role in the Senate Finance Committee during these recent deliberations for the health care reform bill.
What the?
It boggles the mind.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell lost, in addition to his chin, also his tongue on Friday.
Yes.
When asked if he still has confidence in Senator Ensign's ability to serve as a United States Senator.
I don't think today is a day to make any observations about the matter. It just appeared in the newspaper today. I don't have any observations to make about the Ensign matter today.
Not today or ever. It's never going to be something I can comment on. Because I don't have upper lip. I really have difficulty speaking about things like that.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay. So, Michael Moore, did you see him on Bill Maher on Real Time? Mm-hmm. He was, of course, on the Stephanie Miller program last week about his new film, Capitalism, A Love Story. Mm-hmm. One of the issues that Moore looks at is dead peasants insurance, where companies take out life insurance policies on their employees without their knowledge and then cash in when they die.
Wow.
Which is different than this show, because, as you know, I know the guy that owns the show has taken out life insurance money on me and is, in fact, trying to kill me for it.
How do Jim, Rebecca, and I know that you haven't taken out life insurance policies on us?
You don't.
Waiting for us to die. Huh?
You don't. Representative Louis Gutierrez, a Democrat of Illinois, will introduce legislation that will curb the ability of employers to take out these insurance policies. He introduced a bill that would ban employer-owned life insurance unless the worker earns at least $1 million a year from the company. He said, in a nation where millions of full-time workers have no health insurance, maybe if we can prevent companies from betting on the death of their employees, they'll invest in the health of their employees, Gutierrez told.
God, unbelievable.
I know.
Freaking bastards.
I am more technically more just a fun fact dead than alive according
hey,
to
George Bailey, you
Mr.
More
Potter
dead than alive.
That's who owns the show. Mr. Potter is his name. That's funny. We will refer to him as Mr. Potter from now on.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
OK, Okay, the White House said Sunday it sees signs of progress in confronting Iran's nuclear program while members of Congress endorsed authorizing tougher U.S. economic penalties against Iran. The fact that Iran came to the table and seemingly showed some degree of cooperation, I think, is a good thing, said James Jones, the National Security Advisor. He said this is not going to be an open-ended process. We want to be satisfied. We, the world community, want to be satisfied within a short period of time. But for now, I think things are moving in the right direction, which, once again, would be bad news for Republicans who would prefer that we die in an Olympic-free nuclear Armageddon.
Yeah.
Because that would be bad for Obama.
We're losing in Afghanistan. Yes!
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Didn't Mr. Potter take you out to dinner last week for your birthday?
Oh, sure.
Why didn't he try to poison you then?
He did.
Yeah. He did?
Yeah, those big poison pills. But see, I always drink too much wine, so I washed it out of my system.
Oh. He didn't order beef tartare for you?
That's with sun-dried mayonnaise.
Yes.
Oh, by the way,
chicken tartare.
Okay. We try to get ahead of the game on what the Fox, on what we'll probably see on Fox tonight. They're going to make a way to make something out of this. The Obamas had the audacity to celebrate their wedding anniversary.
Those bastards!
Yes. However, they kept it simple. It was in Georgetown. It was their 17th wedding anniversary. They went to the Blue Duck Tavern, but somehow they're going to spin that. It was too much gas money for the motorcade, or I don't know, it took too long. Be something.
How about George Bush flying back to Crawford every 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Yes.
That must have been a bit more expensive
than that. Flying to D.C. from Crawford in order to sign the Terry Schiavo bill in the middle of the night, and then flying
because
back.
They believed in keeping government out of people's lives.
Right. So
that was such an important principle to them. He had to fly back in his garanimals in the middle of the night.
His feety pajamas.
Okay. Representative Alan Grayson, my future husband, has sent a letter of apology to the Anti-Defamation League after describing the health care situation as a Holocaust in America. Grayson, who is Jewish, had already called the ADL.
Okay.
To apologize.
I did not know that. That kind of puts a different wrinkle on it, doesn't it?
Yes. All right. President Obama will focus at the right time on how to overturn the Don't Ask, Don't Tell ban on serving gays in the military, his national security advisor said yesterday. He said, I don't think it's going to be not years, but I think it will be teed up appropriately. Harry Reid recently wrote to Obama and Robert Gates and asked to share their views and recommendations on the contentious policy. He said, at a time when we're fighting two wars, I don't believe we can afford to discharge any qualified individual who is willing to serve our country.
Yeah.
Look at Harry Reid growing a spine on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. What the,
especially if they're fluent in Arabic.
Look, and I am all for this. I'm just saying, I understand on getting health care done first before you wade into what, you know, the right is going to make another huge stink out of. But I do hope he gets to it very soon after we get health care. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris the Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward. Rebecca Baker on vacation. Thank you, Miranda, for filling in. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.